This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin Edition for Week 9 action. Between the Rams and Buccaneers, the Bucks Bulletin is the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group. They are your full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. They are longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXXIX, yes, our 39th golf tournament. We will be sold out at West Chase Golf Club for our golf tournament and holiday spectacular, an annual event. If you would like golf information, please email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm. What does that mean? It may mean family law. It may mean divorce. It may mean post-judgment. It may mean child support adjustment. If you'd like to know for sure what it means and if that covers your legal need, free consultation, 844-4BLG4ME, or click the box to request a free consultation at BrandonLegalGroup.com, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Email for fantasy questions is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. You know, the last couple of years, if we were talking fantasy football as it related to the Rams and the Buccaneers, these are teams that populate rosters with productive fantasy players. It has gone completely bad for both the Rams and Buccaneers as it relates to fantasy production, where the most productive fantasy player, well, there are two, are a kicker on the Buccaneers and still Cooper Kupp, who seemed to survive what looked like a very bad injury in garbage time, even Sean McVay admitting that there was no reason to have him involved in a beating at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers late in the game last week. So let's just go by position. Neither of these quarterbacks are your best options this week. Matthew Stafford has been one of the biggest disappointments in all of fantasy football, even more than Russell Wilson, even more than Aaron Rodgers, even more than Justin Herbert, and we'll get to TB12. I show Stafford as 25th in my 21st century standard scoring settings for all potential quarterbacks, and that includes Taysom Hill, who can play either quarterback or tight end in Yahoo leagues. 25 is the ranking for Matthew Stafford, behind Matt Ryan, who has been benched for the rest of the year, Taysom Hill, who's not even a quarterback, Carson Wentz, who's on IR, Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, it's bad, beyond bad. Looks like Stafford will be under center. The Rams did not acquire any quarterbacks, any running backs, couldn't move Cam Akers. You just kind of wonder at this point, off the Rams going all in recent years, and it worked for a Super Bowl title last year, if they just, at this point, don't have what they need to make changes within this season, and they need to just absorb it all and then turn the page next year and then go from there, because they've traded away a lot of future draft picks. And obviously, they've maxed out some of their financial resources when it comes to Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and the list goes on. But no, Matt Stafford is not an option, and we'll get to Tom Brady. Brady's numbers aren't as bad as Stafford's, but 7, 8, 9, 10. TB12 is QB13 in my scoring settings. 13, and that's without a bye week. So he's had the advantage of playing every week, where some other quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins skipped a week. Patrick Mahomes skipped a week. Jalen Hurts skipped a week. Josh Allen skipped a week. Nowhere close. Brady has thrown just 9 touchdowns. We talked about this last week in the bulletin. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen more than double. Joe Burrow almost double in terms of touchdown production. The yardage is fine, but you're not getting those touchdown passes, and you know you're not going to get rushing touchdowns from Tom Brady. There's the occasional QB sneak on the goal line, but we haven't even seen that this year. He's officially attempted 12 rushes for minus 5 yards. So there have been a few sneaks in there, and they're not working. I guess they're for first downs. I'm sure there was one on the goal line. I don't remember it. But as we've been saying for about a month now, you can do better than playing Tom Brady. I mean, just in one of my leagues right now, a 12-team league, right now, you can pick up Marcus Mariota, who is QB8, and play him this week. Plug and play, or play him until Tom Brady gets his act together. Mariota available in 69% of Yahoo leagues at the time I'm recording this podcast on Thursday morning. You say, well, Mariota stinks. Well, so does Brady right now. Mariota, 10 passing touchdowns. Brady, 9. Granted, Mariota has 6 interceptions and 3 lost fumbles. Brady has 2 lost fumbles, by the way. So you are dealing with some negative points there. But Mariota has converted 2-point conversions. Brady, 1. Just comparing. And then you get the rushing from Mariota, which is an emphasis right now for the Falcons for low risk. Mariota has 55 rush attempts for 280 yards and 3 touchdowns. 55 rush attempts. That's 2 more than Josh Allen. It's 4 more than Kyler Murray. So yeah, there's your better option. I mean, same thing for Stafford, although I would imagine you benched Stafford weeks ago. I took a flyer on him this year in the draft. It seemed like people were scared away from him because of the tennis elbow or the baseball elbow. It's more than that as it relates to Stafford. And feels like he's dealing with multiple injuries and a porous offensive line. You can certainly play Leonard Fournette. It's interesting that a lot of the criticism of the Buccaneers is based on their stubbornness about running the ball, particularly on early downs, and how it doesn't work. Meanwhile, Fournette is putting up RB1 numbers for fantasy owners. I updated the big board this week, and I removed Breece Hall because he's out for the year. Unfortunate for that young rookie on the Jets. If I don't remove Breece Hall, Fournette is RB11. With Hall out of there in terms of active running backs, sure, Fournette's not putting up elite numbers this year, like Chubb, Henry, Barkley, CMC, and Eckler. And you can make the case for Jacobs off the last month. But Fournette is still playable. If you have someone in your league who has an axe to grind against Fournette and doesn't think he's that good, we've said this before in the Bucks Bulletin, you trade for him. You do. You trade for him. Knowing you have a bye week in 2 weeks, you're trading for a guy you can't use in 2 weeks, but Fournette is still, based on the numbers, RB1. The volume remains high. I keep hearing people calling some for Rashad White to play more. That's not a good idea. You play Rashad White when Fournette needs a break, or you're getting your ass kicked by 20 points. He's a Jason Light drafted running back, which means he sucks. Fournette is better. He's more productive. He's less of a liability. There's no comparison. From the Rams standpoint, I picked up Cam Akers this week. He wasn't traded, but the Rams now, it seems like they have to try to fix this. That whatever the issue was between Cam Akers and Coach McVay, and I don't know if this is personal or if it's McVay responding to something that Akers did or didn't do professionally, why Akers was made persona non grata this year on the Rams. I give credit to McVay realizing that, okay, we couldn't trade him, but now he's here. We need help. Offensively, we're nowhere near where we need to be. Maybe we can fix this, at least for now. And we can get some production out of Cam Akers. I don't think you play him this week, but I picked him up on waivers because he's likely to get another shot since the trade deadline is gone. I don't think you can play Henderson. You know, if you did that last week because the Rams had nobody else. I forget who was the name on the Rams. I mean, if you played Henderson last week, you got 4 carries for 16 yards. I like the Roto World comment / NBC Sports Edge. Who made this comment? NBC Sports Edge about Daryl Henderson's game last week. This is what rock bottom looks like. Because Henderson was out-touched 12-6 by undrafted rookie Ronnie Rivers. Didn't we have a Ronnie Rivers a generation ago with the Broncos? Is this like Ronnie Rivers the second? Just thinking out loud. And no, I wouldn't be running to the waiver wire to pick up Ronnie Rivers at this point. So Fournette is your only option to start at running back in this game. Let's go to the wide receivers. Mentioned this in episode 41 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast as it related to Mike Evans. As disappointing of a year as it is for Mike Evans, he's a fringe wide receiver one based on his point production. So again, I know how it looks. But then you look at the numbers relative to other wide receivers in fantasy football, and Evans is right there on the fringe of wide receiver one. Same number of points as Tyler Boyd. Now, for those of you who say, well, Tyler Boyd stinks. He doesn't even play in Cincinnati. Yeah. Chase is out. The Bengals have 3 of the top 16 wide receivers in fantasy football, according to my scoring settings. Evans has more points than CeeDee Lamb, more points than Deebo Samuel, more points than Mike Williams, who's been hurt, more points than Tyler Lockett. So, yeah, you expected it to be more. It still could. It still could. Whether the Bucs win or lose, Mike Evans is still a number one target for Tom Brady to move the football. 39 receptions this year for 577 yards. And 3 touchdowns. Let's talk about Godwin a little bit. I made a trade for Godwin a couple of weeks ago. I was hoping for more. I haven't gotten it. It's been okay. Godwin, every year, right, we have a receiver or two. This especially hits home for some of you who have owned a receiver like this. I mean, I'm going down. Is he that far down the board? I must have missed him. Hang on. Let's start over with our top wide receivers, our top 25 wide receivers. I didn't think Godwin was in the top 25 because he had missed some time. Okay, he's not. Then we go the next. I think I did this on the previous Bucks Bulletin. I apologize, but I want to get the accurate numbers. Okay, he's not there. Is he in the 51 through 75. There he is. Okay. So Godwin is wide receiver 57 based on point production this year. 35 catches, 368 yards. But he missed most of the opening game, then the next two games. So here's his last five games. Seven catches, six catches, 59 yards, 61 yards, 95 yards, 43 yards, 75 yards. He's basically averaging 10 yards a catch. The problem is, and you know my issue with targets, Godwin and Brady are missing a lot. Because the offensive line is so bad, and teams are coming after Brady, Brady often is checking down quickly either to Fournette or to Godwin. On one play in the Ravens game, it almost got Godwin killed because the Ravens safety who was responsible said, yeah, go ahead and take that, but I'm going to get there and I'm going to blow this play up. And he blew Godwin up and it was a failed third down conversion. I thought Godwin was hurt on the play. So this Brady's and Godwin aren't connecting because Brady doesn't have that extra second. Godwin doesn't have that extra second to settle into the route. Fournette has been making a lot of those grabs, and he's very good at it. I'll say right now, the checkdowns to Fournette are working better than the checkdowns to Godwin. So take it from an owner of Godwin. Right now, I have him as a wide receiver 3/flex play this week. Granted, my top two in that particular league are Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson. So Godwin couldn't move up. But yes, I'm playing him unless I trade him this week, and I'm exploring that. No other wide receivers or pass catchers for the Bucs are playable. All right, we talked about the Cooper Kupp injury and how it could have been a lot worse. He didn't practice Wednesday, participated in the walkthrough, low ankle sprain, expectation that he'll play through it this week against the Bucs. For those of you who are Cooper Kupp owners, you're just thrilled that it's not a season-ending injury and that he has, I mean, at this point, feels like he's going to play against the Buccaneers. Kupp has been, he's wide receiver 3 in season-long ranking. So that's down a little bit, but only behind Diggs and Hill. And Kupp has already had a bye week, so that hurts him against Tyreek Hill. But yeah, I mean, as long as he's on the active roster, so 90 minutes before the game, make sure you check. As long as Cooper Kupp is active, you play him. And you have an expectation of a high floor as it relates to Cooper Kupp, and you hope he doesn't re-aggravate the injury. Do you play Allen Robinson? Stafford did have a connection with him last week. Let's see. But Allen Robinson owners have been disappointed that there hasn't been more there from really the opening week, although they went out immediately the next week and fixed it early. Allen Robinson's only caught 22 balls this year. Yikes. Averaging 10 yards per catch, kind of like Godwin. He has scored twice, but he's behind Godwin. I mean, I'm on the third page here. So Allen Robinson, I said Godwin in my rankings was wide receiver 58. Robinson's wide receiver 62. Available in 34% of leagues. People have sort of given up on him. No more than 5 catches in any single game this year. Stafford's still not looking his way a lot. Touchdown in week 2 against Atlanta. Touchdown in week 6 against Carolina. Did draw an end zone penalty that set up the Rams on the 1 yard line. There were a couple other things with the calls. If Cooper Kupp is inactive, Allen Robinson becomes the best wide receiver the Rams have. in this game. Otherwise, I don't know. I wouldn't be thrilled about playing Allen Robinson as a flex. But if Kupp doesn't go for some reason, then yeah, I think you can. And the last thing, just for those of you in outdated mandatory tight end leagues, let me pull up Higbee. Higbee, another guy, just doesn't score. Stafford looks his way a lot. Not as much recently. Looked his way a lot in early October. But the last two games for the Rams, one catch for 7 yards, two catches for 15 yards. Had a neck injury early in the first quarter of the San Francisco game. Had a long touchdown dropped in the fourth quarter that could have kept the Rams in the game. Would have been his first score of the year. So while Higbee was someone you could justify in a daily league as a tight end option because of volume a month ago, I don't think you can right now. Mention Ryan Succop. He's a kicker that is in your lineup because the Bucs are so bad in scoring touchdowns regularly. Succop is getting a lot of work, and he's converting. Matt Gay, not so much. Matt Gay, available in a majority of leagues. A guy I even considered in one of my leagues. I've been sort of rotating kickers every week, and I considered him, and just I couldn't do it based on the dysfunction of the Rams offense. It's a different type of dysfunction from the Bucs offense that at least gets Ryan Succop opportunities in terms of kickers in my settings. I mean, Ryan Succop's number three behind only Jason Myers and Justin Tucker. And then you got to go way down the board to get to Matt Gay. Is he not even in the top 25? Wow. So that's how little the Rams are using Matt Gay, because you know McVay is so desperate to fix this and put touchdowns on the board. They're going for it on fourth down so much. Matt Gay is kicker 26. He's only kicked 9 field goals all year. He's never missed from inside of 39, but only 13 PATs. Wow. That just shows you how bad it is for the Rams. Gay doesn't have multiple field goals made since week 4 and has only made multiple field goals in 2 games this year, and we're at week 9. That's bad. All right. Individual questions about your fantasy teams or your daily plays, Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin, presented by Brandon Legal Group.